Welcome back to another episode of Christian Cowboy Journals, a ministry of Servant Spirit Ministries. I am Reverend Eric William Miller, and I and the ministry hope that you find the following episode informative and edifying. And stay tuned to the end for more information on how to reach out or contact or anything like that. Well, welcome back. I know it's been a while since my last episode, and that's partially because I was praying that I wouldn't have to speak on the specific topic, or group of topics, I should say, but it appears that it's no longer an option to avoid. And that is maintaining your faith in spite of, well, when you're a veteran or you have served in public service, which there are many out there that do currently, and appreciate all that. But, you know, I've got some things to say, and it's probably going to upset some people. Many. And one of those is that around the time of my last episode, I had been working on something primarily for my own health with the Veterans Affairs in Central Texas. And, well, for lack of a better term, I had smoke blown up my rear end. I was lied to directly to my face. I tried to keep it as a polite meeting. I tried to video record the meeting that I had with the director. And the video recordings did not work, but I was able to audio record the half-hour meeting, where I was basically blown off about my concerns regarding, well, the lack of proper care around here. I've been trying left and right for getting assistance through attorneys to file a lawsuit. But, of course, no one would take my case because, well, I'm not dead and seriously maimed by the agency. Just not living my best life. So, but I've also seen that it is more than just Central Texas. This has been going on for years. I saw it in New York. I saw it in Ohio. I saw it in Kentucky. And then, not only Central Texas, but also, I don't know what region they're considered, but out of the, not specifically the Houston facility, but out of that area. If you've paid attention to where we are, that episode, which not many people have, we live full-time in an RV. And one of the things that I had requested multiple times, even before that meeting with the director, was, for example, to be switched to community care because of the lack of receiving services through the VA. And also, I had tried to get a medical doctor. I set up an appointment at the Austin Clinic with the specific medical doctor. I showed up for that appointment and that doctor allegedly was not there. Neither was the person who was supposed to be there. And when I got upset about that, and the fact that they were basically holding me against my will because I wanted to walk out from the appointment because, you know, what's the point if you're not speaking with who you're supposed to speak with? I raised my voice. I got irate. And needless to say, because of that kidnapping, basically, being held against my will, I was given a letter by the VA for disruptive behavior. My first one to receive. If I was so disruptive, you would have thought that they would have called the VA police there on the campus. But no, that would just prove that they were pulling me against my will. Makes no sense. But it's totally retaliatory. Now, there is someone that listens to this and knows someone that will help me with, you know, take a case against them, great. But I'll also say, if there's someone who's willing to help me do better with my podcast episodes, that's great as well. That'd be wonderful as well. Because I would love to be able to put out more episodes in a timely manner. But I'll be the first to admit that I'm not getting paid for this. I do this to share. To share from my heart, share from my soul and spirit what I feel needs to be said. And growing up in Texas and having lived most of my life, you know, not most of my life at this point, but a majority, close to, you know, a majority of my life was growing up in Texas. You know, I lived in Texas. Texas has always been pro-veteran. Not anymore. And as anyone who knows anything, watch enough YouTube videos or listen to enough other podcasts, it's a leadership issue. It comes from the top down. Take that in as far up the chain as you want to go with that. That's up to you. But I know that I tried reaching out to congressmen, to senators at the federal level, because they oversee the VA, or supposed to have oversight of it. The Inspector General's Office, Office of Integrity, because part of what happened to me was basically I had three people lie on medical statements. Lie, omit facts, and then don't even follow the VA's own guidelines on a matter. I'll be honest, it was trying to get a mobility scooter. Powered mobility scooter. What did they do? They reissued me a rollator, which is basically like a walker with four wheels. And then when they did that, they didn't even issue the right size for my weight. They didn't even go with the same size as the one I had before. So, what does that tell you? They really didn't pay attention and don't care. And I do have the auto recording, and I will say, if you stick around, I might just turn around and post it at the end of all this, which would make quite a long episode because that audio recording is a half hour in and of itself, or a little bit over. Surprisingly, it was this Spotify for Podcasters app was how I was able to record it. Picture was nice. But yeah, it's just, I will say it's hard to maintain one's faith through all that. And like I said, our ministry receives very little, if any, in-person donations. But, you know, in general, what we do out of our own pocket, if you could say that. And just, a lot of times it's mostly just Lord providing for us to survive. Not survive well, just survive. Now, I don't know who all the listeners I have of this podcast are. I know it's, you know, the statistics are fairly vague of what I'm able to receive at the moment. But being that is also a bunch, you know, at least, you know, 50-60% of you who are fellow guys out there, you know, hey, feel free to don't be afraid to reach out. I know us men don't communicate too well. But, you know, like, subscribe, do those things. Share. And we don't, you know, I know I'm not very good at doing that myself. You know, except for maybe, you know, giving a like on certain things. Unfortunately, this is a social media type, you know, this is a media type platform. The more people share it, the more people hear it. If you think it's worth hearing. But I can honestly say that as far as my recent experiences, well, recent and extended experiences with the VA and other agencies that are meant to help veterans, those people just collect paychecks. They don't care. The few that do care, don't care for long. They're not allowed to. You know, I mean, what can you say about that? It took me 2 months to get an appointment with the director, Central Texas director, and I even brought up something else that had been brought up that I, you know, finally had seen in the news that reached down to me. And that was regarding a memorial cross that was in the Austin Clinic that conveniently, at the same time, I was dealing with my discrimination and problems, because I will admit, pretty much every single one of my appointments, I have worn something, generally a t-shirt or a vest that says chaplain, or but generally a t-shirt that says Servant Spirit Ministries on it. And some of them even have, you know, they're homemade. Some of them even have, you know, the podcast listed on the sleeve. But they definitely have a Christian cross on them. And the yellow vest I sometimes wear has the Christian flag on the left sleeve. But I can honestly say that my problems with the VA aren't just because of my Christian faith. They might be exacerbated because of it. But the problems, at least here in Central Texas, stem from, you know, they just don't like veterans. And the director is an Army veteran himself. But he was an officer in the Army. I'd say, you know, after the meeting I had and seeing what how he runs his ship, well, just
yeah, his ship.
I'm Navy. Go figure. He was Army. Seeing how he runs, you know, records and medical things there, and his oversight, I'd call into suspect his military performance. In fact, that might even be why he's a civilian now. Because he couldn't hack it in the Army. I know, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't be bad-mouthing too much, but, you know, this is a personal experience. And it's a frustrating one. And if even part of my listeners are fellow veterans, you understand. You don't kidnap us, hold us against our will, and lie to us. And then on top of that, insult us by saying that we were bad people because we expressed our concerns with how they treated us. So in a way, this is a little bit of a call to action. You know, especially if you're a U.S. citizen and a veteran. Let the VA know they need to stop mistreating their veterans. If a veteran needs medical care, they need it. Give it to them. Don't refuse to put things in their medical records to keep them from getting proper care. That does nothing but cause veterans to die in hallways and stairwells. Because they want to shove everything under a rug to make their numbers look good for Congress. But all they're doing is rubber stamping denials. And not even doing it proper. In my case, and if you were to go to my Facebook page or you look up the social medias where I've posted it, and places like that, you will see the proof of the lies. Oh, and I also want to point out that the Austin Clinic has a chapel room. Now, in March, they took down a memorial cross. But ever since I've been going to that facility since December, there's been a room, you know, a little chapel area, but never a chaplain. Never a chaplain during normal business hours. And there's a sign there that says, if you need to speak with someone, speak with some leadership there at the facility, at the clinic. Call a number. Well, if you're taking away a memorial cross for Christian faith, and you're disrespecting the veterans that are in your care, what makes you think that they're going to go to you for spiritual help? If they're depressed or suicidal or any of that? You know, there's no chaplain ever on duty in Austin. Of any of the times I've been there. I mean, I'd love to just volunteer my time and sit there. But unfortunately, because of, I'll be honest, you know, the things I would love to do, just sit there or to be able to do more can't be done without outside help. So it's something I ask that y'all pray about. Yeah. I would love to just be able, yeah, we would love just where I could just go up there, sit, and a few hours a day or whatever on, you know, days of operation and do that. But also, I wanted to point out that in the leadership office and in many of the other offices, there is an alphabet flag circle. It's not fully a flag. It's in the shape of a circle. It's a magnet that they put on the cabinets. And at the center of it are the colors, well, baby blue, white, and light pink. Do your own research on what that means within the alphabet flags. And then tell me that if you are sincere in your faith and you're there at that chapel, you're going to call someone in leadership when they promote that and take down a cross. A memorial cross in their facility. I mean, what can I say? You know, it's disheartening. Our Christian faith is under attack. If you look closely, you'll see it everywhere. And if things continue the way they do with the leadership we have in this country, the way it's been the last couple years, well, actually in general the last couple decades, but especially the last couple years, as a Christian, we will have, as Christians, we'll have to go into hiding until the rapture. Whether or not you believe exactly how, which version of the rapture and how that happens, you believe. But until Christ's second coming, we will be, the tribulations and whatnot are happening. It's getting worse to be a person of faith. Any faith. But really, if you're a Christian and are truly bound in your Christian theology and beliefs, we are under attack. We can't just hide our prayer, hide our cross, hide our faith inside the four walls of our home. We have to stand up for what we believe. And, you know, we are God's army now. Hopefully you were God's army when you were in the, if you were in the service as well. But remember, you know, but we are in God's army. His army. You know, David used a slingshot against Goliath. Does that mean we're about just rolling over and let anything happen to us? No. Yes, we were trying to diffuse with love, but We must stand up for our faith. And sometimes they, you know, kneel to the cross in prayer. Don't let the demons take over. Don't let Satan have his wins. Every time you refuse to speak up for because you're afraid you might offend someone or you might lose your job, you are letting Satan win. And he knows it. Because misery loves company, and he's going to take you down with him. And I pray for everyone that listens to this. My prayers are with everyone. But please, if you want to hear more podcasts, want things more frequent, feedback, please reach out. Even if it's just a thumbs up. Hey, you know, thumbs up, create more. Or thumbs down, you don't like my episode. Okay. Hey. You know, thumbs down, you're sounding too sleepy again. Or thumbs up, you know, good topic. Come on, give me some interaction, folks. Yeah. And maybe in my mid-40s and a bit stubborn and mule-headed at times, but I'll take constructive criticism. All right, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and stick around for that audio after the traditional exit. Thank you for listening to the Christian Cowboy Journals podcast, a ministry of Servant Spirit Ministries. If you would like to find out more or to donate, please go to servantspirit.net, or you can find us on social media platforms, Twitter and Facebook, under Servant Spirit Ministries. And the Christian Cowboy Journals podcast is a group within the Facebook page, as well as there are some other social media platforms where you can find Reverend Eric Miller, myself here. You can also donate via givesendgo.com/servantspirit. And we hope to hear from you, since this platform is hosted, this podcast is hosted on Anchor by Spotify. Please feel free to send us a message, interact, or interact with us on social media. Subscribe, follow, notify, all the fun stuff that everybody always says. Have a blessed time, and I hope you listen to us in the next episode. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for sticking around. And now for the bonus. If you wanted to hear this, you might want to hear it. Miller.
Mr. Miller, yes.
Mike Kiefer. I'm not looking like Walker, Texas Ranger.
Come on in. We're going to go around this desk and into the conference.
Mr. Furious.
Yeah. Come on in.
Perfect. That'll actually help me answer a second question that I've come to notice recently.
Like your best.
I didn't know if you wanted to sit on your chair or if you wanted your chair to pull up.
This chair is probably a little safer just because my weight has taken out too many office chairs in the past. Try to get the nice executive ones and they all deflate after a while.
Make yourself comfortable. I'm just going to take one quick second to go grab my... We just left a meeting and we have another one in 30 minutes, so... Which is
a computer. I have been using computers since before the internet, so.
All right, so he's got Teams.
But not in the military, so that was one place I didn't get to play with him.
Okay, so you asked for an opportunity to sit down and talk, so I'm here to listen.
And I've been trying for 2 months to do so. And did you receive the email that was sent by myself through Trixie? Also sent it to Mr. Farias, as well as his assistant Chris.
I'm sure I did. I don't have it printed out here in front of me.
Okay. I was trying to get my brother to help me with that, with the print thing, but he has some other things with his job that he's an executive of. So he wasn't able to get that printed out and sorted for me for this morning.
Are you able to hear us, Dr. Pacino?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't see Mr. Miller.
He's ready.
Okay, now I can see.
All right, great.
Good morning.
Yeah, you're the gentleman that is on the board over in College Station, correct?
On the board?
Well, College Station is part of our health.
Texas A&M.
Care. Oh, the VA.
I know your chief of medicine, according to the site, part of the things was he was still on the medical board over there.
You've got affiliation with the college there.
Yeah, with College Station, yeah. I was making sure I had the right person in my head of who I was, who I'm dealing with, so. I like to do my homework as much as possible.
Yeah, so I understand one of your primary issues was about a wheelchair.
Power mobility scooter.
Yeah.
Because I cannot use a wheelchair due to health conditions such as a shoulder injury from, you know, after the service, but before I started seeking health care through the VA. Mm-hmm. I was a delivery driver for Lowe's and had a very big fridge and, yeah, strained my right rotator cuff. But, and then also the ultrasound at Austin Outpatient Clinic and cardiology has started to show basically congenital heart failure, which both things disqualify me for a manual or power-assisted wheelchair, according to the VA's own guidelines on that from 2004.
Okay.
That's part of what was in the email I forwarded was the 2004 guidelines that are listed on prosthetics, primarily under the MS heading, but that, you know, they're there. Or actually, no, one of the things was under the for multiple sclerosis, but that's where the guidelines were found, went under a Google search, an extensive Google search. Like I said, I've been using I'm familiar with Boolean language. If it can be found on the internet, I can find it, if it's out there.
Okay.
But my biggest concern is not so much whether or not I meet the guidelines, but how PMRS, not just one, not two, but all three evaluators made some serious errors and mistakes. And as someone who has a history in the Army of dealing with medical records, they are so glaring, the mistakes are so glaring, and even in front of witnesses, that it shows an incompetency of leadership. How high up the leadership it goes, I do not know. That's why I wanted to speak with you, okay, Mr. Kiefer.
What kind of glaring errors that are you referring to?
Well, I'll start off by, I mentioned my pain levels to all three. Not a single one put it in, but in anything regarding my pain. Okay. Timestamps. A denial letter was issued less than 90 seconds after only one person's denial was placed officially in the system, according to the timestamps.
Okay.
The other two didn't come in until an hour and 3 hours after that denial letter.
Okay, so what does that mean to you?
That means that, considering that it was that denial letter was typed up in 90 seconds, and someone who was able to type 80 words per minute with 100% accuracy, and I saw how extensive that letter was, I can't type that. I can never type it that fast in 90 seconds. I couldn't type that whole letter out that fast.
Okay.
That tells me that I was denied before I even walked in the building. Especially when you combine the fact that a lot of my medical history was ignored. My pain levels were ignored. I don't know a single person on this planet who, as the notation is made, that exceedingly shortness of breath, while walking with the pulse oximeter on, is higher than my sitting resting pulse ox. As the alleged lowest number, even though I personally witnessed that number lower, and I know that the evaluator personally witnessed it lower because it was sitting in my old rollator in the seat. I looked down at it and he looked down at it at the same time. Mm-hmm. I saw it down to 92 and it got up to like, and I adjusted to 94. He looked at it at least when it said 94 if he didn't catch it at 92. Mm-hmm. How the heck is that 98? And the sitting was, and the sitting resting was 96% pulse ox.
Okay.
Also, I don't have my ball cap with me today, but I have a United States Navy ball cap that I was wearing on the day of. The female evaluator, the very first question she asked me, and they were doing round robin with all five vets at the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally. They were bouncing between the veterans. Okay, the very first question, I see you're an Army veteran, because you had it typed up from the previous veteran, that they were Army. Mm-hmm. I lifted up, and she had a trainee with her, a male trainee. I picked up my hat that was on the table, bed, behind her laptop. Picked it up by the bead, raised it up over her screen, said, no, I'm a Navy veteran. And even turned it to show the trainee as a witness and set it back down. Out the gate, she never even changed that with a trainee. Plus, on her, specifically on her questionnaires, the pre-filled questions, does request pain levels. What are the veterans' pain levels? Okay. I told her that even doing this right here for more than a couple of seconds, arms resting, I'm in pain, constant pain. But bringing my right arm, not even, halfway up, for like driving or anything, this is excruciating right now. This is a 10, and I can't hold it for very long. I literally have to drive pretty much one-handed.
Okay.
Especially on a long trip coming, from Austin to Temple.
Sure.
How is that full range of motion? As put in her notes.
Well, I should tell you, I'm not a doctor. So I appreciate what you're saying. I do work in the healthcare industry for 38 years. So
even in the service, you were in charge of health records.
Mm-hmm.
But if any of your service members under your command, anybody that was in records, implemented records like that, because I was cross-rating to hospital corpsman before I left the service. When I did a temporary stint in records, and that was back when you separated it by color code and, you know, second to last number of a social.
Yeah.
Okay, mid-90s. Okay.
The old,
you know, one of the old school methods of sorting. Okay, and I even drew blood from a Marine colonel. He called me Doc. I didn't have the heart to tell him.
Hopefully,
I wasn't officially a corpsman yet.
Hopefully with a needle.
Oh, yeah, I was drawing, he came in for blood work in the lab.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, I was so good, you know, you're real good, Doc. I didn't feel it, you know. I didn't have the heart to tell him I wasn't officially a corpsman yet, so I just kind of let it at that. Yeah, it was a nice compliment from him, but, you know, that, and I know how Marines are scared of blood, their own blood. They're fine with everybody else's, but their own, no, never. but anyways, plus my mom has been a nurse since I was a freshman in high school. My wife used to be a nurse. I almost became a certified nursing assistant in the state of Oregon. I'm familiar with records. I'm familiar with, you know, with medical. And the errors, I mean, what I sent the original. I sent where I highlighted a lot of the errors. We're talking falsities. We're talking misrepresentation of facts. Or not having facts at all in there. Mm-hmm. For all, yeah, I think he might have muted.
it's just he took his camera off. He's still there.
Yeah. But when you have that over 80% from each individual, when you have all three of those things going on, plus the denial letter, mm-hmm. plus one of them makes sure to mention my Christian faith in the notes.
Typically not
the only other time someone else
it's to be put in there.
Well, when asked about hobbies,
I see.
I go, I'm a Christian. You know, what do you like? What are the things you do?
So
I'm a Christian minister.
So what's inappropriate about that then?
Anytime someone specifically just mentions Christian, because you didn't put Christian minister, but in hobbies or anything like that, you just put Christian. Mm-hmm. This is the second or third time this has happened, going to the VA, mm-hmm. and it's always with. Has always been accompanied by errors in the report done by that provider.
Okay.
Not only that, but here's something else that has recently came to my attention, thanks to the news and a little bit of research. Mm-hmm. That same week was the week that the cross came down at Austin, which was the same week you were out of town. So I don't know how. If I had trouble getting an email to you, I was told by Trixie you were out of town at a medical conference for the whole week.
I don't know what week that was, but
the week of March 20th.
Yes, I was at the American College of Healthcare Executives.
So I don't know how I don't know if you approve that or not, but there is actually court cases in regards to the cross could have stayed.
But instead, I'm
having to face the religious symbol of LGBTQ plus. And pedophiles sitting in every single office in Austin. Every time I turn around, there's this circle that the center of the circle is a baby pink and baby blue symbol, which is a symbol for pedophiles.
Well, I really
that's their flag.
What you're talking about in that regard, but what I
that is a to me that is a religion as a Christian that is a religion that is extremely offensive, and that's in more places than that one cross was. Because I noticed there was something missing, you know, shortly after that at Austin, but I didn't, you know, because I hadn't been there that often to really see it. Yeah, you know, I saw it once prior. I was like, there's something missing from there, but,
let's do this. Let's focus on your issue, because...
Well, that is part of my issue, is because I feel that this is a lot of, you know, because when I tried to call the head of PMRS, mm-hmm. when I was trying to call to get it straight, just to get them to... Look it over. Double check their notes. Make sure they're doing the job right. Mm-hmm. I didn't say a foul word. I raised my voice because I'm in a hole down in South Austin, a cell signal hole where I had trouble hearing him, and I'm making sure I'm speaking
Clearly
and affirmatively. Mm-hmm. You know, wasn't cursing or foul language, how you want to refer to it. Wasn't using any racial slurs or any epithets or anything else. Mm-hmm. But you would have think I had called him something that is, you know, that is, you know, like a serious racial slur or something. Because he just started basically treating me like I was the worst piece of crap on earth.
And who were you speaking with?
I didn't catch his name because he said it so fast. Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't. The only thing I could think of is it might have been Dr. Sadiq, but all I know is that this person was the doctor that oversees PMRS, which I believe is Dr. Sadiq, or Dr. Sadiq might be one level higher. All I was trying to do,
yeah.
Trying to get you involved, trying to get everybody else involved, mm-hmm. was I was just trying to get them to do what I was taught in school. When you complete your stuff fast as that was done, double-check your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take a few extra minutes, double-check your work, make sure you got it right. That's all I was asking was for a double-check, make sure the work was done right. Because
okay.
Within seconds of me seeing it, I saw that, and my wife also noticed what happened with the social worker there in Austin, because you know that happened to download at the same time as part of that.
Sorry to interrupt you, but let me interrupt you for a moment. So, you see about 1.3 million outpatient visits a year, right? So, there's lots of activity that goes on. And when there's a conflict...
Pardon me, this is going to sound like a bomb sometimes.
So, when there's an issue with a patient and you have an alternative view of what you would like to present, what I use as part of our process to help kind of...
Well, even the updated denial letter from Dr. Sadiq that was supposedly signed off by a board.
Let me just
or committee.
I use the patient advocate system. That's the system we use to vet the issues that veterans bring up. And there are some PATSRs that I looked at before our meeting to see what the what your issue was when talking to patient advocacy. I don't see a good amount of. So it talks about. The issue with, so it says there are some discrepancies in charting about his medical condition. The chief discussed with the veteran about putting morbid obesity due to excessive calories, and the veteran expressed that obesity is not a relevant issue to qualify for power mobility. The chief explained that it's part of the assessment. The veteran also stated one provider document is an inaccurate branch of service.
That's a lie right there in and of itself.
The chief apologized. To the veteran, informed him that the branch has no bearing on the assessment. The veteran also alleged discrepancy in the oxygen O2 level documented in the chart. The chief PMRs explained that a drop in O2 level during physical evaluation is not clinically significant, and discussed with the veteran the fact that he doesn't use oxygen at home. In reference to the vertical, the chief explained to the veteran that he had demonstrated good balance during the evaluation. The veteran was evaluated by three providers at this appointment, a physiatrist, a physical therapist, and an occupational therapist. The chief PMRS contacted the veteran back in April to listen to discuss the veteran's concerns. The veteran expressed that he is requesting to be evaluated by another physician. The chief of PMRS said that his case will be forwarded to the major medical committee. The chief PMRS previously discussed with the veteran the reason for denial and didn't repeat the discussion. The veteran did not have any questions. Next step, the veteran will be evaluated by the major medical committee. Dr. Fascina, has this case gone to the major medical committee?
Yeah, that I'm looking at CPRS. I'm not aware of major medical. I don't know if it... wait a minute. Yes, April 14th. Major medical... Mr. Miller's case was discussed with major medical clinic.
Can you fix your microphone? It's hard to... hear you.
Yeah. So, yes, on April 14, major medical, the notation is based upon our review of the available medical records. The medical documentation does not support the medical need for the requested equipment. We concur with the recommendations made on March 21 by the wheelchair clinic.
Based upon the incomplete assessments done by those three individuals.
So I'm, I'm not contesting your contesting of their quality of their work. I'm just bringing up to speed on what I
that and that was all, and also there was a lie about the reasons. Okay, I have lymphatic edema. Mm-hmm. Lymphatic edema presents itself. Well, one that was also another thing part of the evaluation that only I have edema in my lower extremities. My lower limbs. No, I have to use a urinal because I can't even find my freaking dick half the time. Okay, plus it's in my hands and in my face. It's all over my body, the edema. I mean, heck, that's well, where, you know, that's part of where that's coming from, that bursitis.
Who's your primary care manager? Do you get primary care managed through?
I'm getting bounced around with a bunch of interns. And when I specifically requested and set up an appointment to speak with Dr. Eaton, they pulled a fast one on me.
What'd they do?
I showed up, Dr. Eaton conveniently wasn't there, neither was the person who set up the appointment, and I got stuck with an intern again.
When was this?
It's like a week or two ago.
Yeah. On the 4th of May, and
Dr. Beginning of May.
Dr. Eaton couldn't be around.
But the whole point of the appointment was to speak to Dr. Eaton for a medical override.
Yeah, but Dr. Miller, the physician over that clinic, it says here that he did discuss with you that the clinic could not override, they were not...
He said they could not do such a thing, because according to him, it was not within VA policies to do such a thing, when it is available as if it's deemed medically necessary, it can be done as a medical override. Because I'm sorry, but I was trying to say that I have perfect balance when I don't. I mean, heck, my chart says biproximal positional vertigo. Mm-hmm. That says I don't have good balance. That diagnosis alone says not good, no good on the balance. Mm-hmm. A diagnosis, actually, something that I've been trying to get put in the records for years, and finally did get put in on the 4th. I haven't double-checked my healthy vet to see it and download it because I've been having generator issues, was degenerative disc disease that was diagnosed back in 2016. I was given a handicap placard for it. Degenerative disc disease from osteoarthritis. If you look at the Social Security Administration's secondary and tertiary symptoms of degenerative disc disease, it basically includes every other symptom I have, from the lymphatic edema to the vertigo, you know, the bursitis, everything's right, everything's there. Which, if that diagnosis had been put in my VA records back in 2016, I would have SSDI right now. I would have an income. I don't even have that. I haven't been able to work since 2015, 2016.
So it's not in your records, not in your...
It wasn't in my records, and when I went to the Social Security Administration to apply for SSI, SSDI, I was denied basically because I asked for extra cream and sugar 4 years prior to onset of disabilities when I was homeless and stuck in the psych ward up in Syracuse, New York for a 72-hour hold because there wasn't a homeless shelter in the county I was in New York. So they sent me off to another county medical, and then I left there and went out into to the local men's shelter.
So you had a
and also that psychiatrist at that time, I told him I was an airman in the Navy called Money Stripes, green stripes, eat nothing but money, basically maybe a private first class, but I had green stripes instead of the black for seamen, they were airmen. He put down, I said I was in the Air Force. He also put down my Christian faith in the notes. So people that aren't listening tend to do stuff like that. If they're not actively listening to the veteran in front of them, and that was a one-on-one evaluation. The one here was three people playing round robin with five, six vets. Mm-hmm. And I'm the only one that at least has the mental capacity to stick up for himself, because the other ones had care providers with them, either their spouses or, a care provider, someone else there with them, who might not take the time and attention to look at their records to see a screw up. They're just taking them to their appointment. And just trusting that things are done right by the VA. You want to improve the trust of veterans? Do it right the first time.
Sure.
I mean, I don't mind the round robin bit. I don't mind dealing with interns as long as I have the same attending. Mm-hmm. But when you change interns and attendings, you're not going to get the proper medical care, especially when someone who's already in four different states has turned around and had to restart the process five different times.
So, are just to be clear, are they technically medical interns or are they medical residents in a...
They're residents.
They're residents, okay. So they're not interns. But I get your point.
And the attending,
And that's why I requested the appointment specifically with Dr. Eaton. I wanted to speak with a senior physician on staff.
Gotcha.
To go over my medical records.
So,
not, you know, the attending, not the resident.
Right.
You know, I try to, you know, like I say, you know, if my medical care is being taken care of and done right.
Sure.
You know, I don't mind the residents because they're at least, you know, they at least have the time to take those extra few minutes to make sure everything is put in the record.
Right.
They're not what happened with my very first primary care provider in Rochester, New York, who was known as the pain doctor, the pain specialist. All he, you know, he took care of all the vets that were in pain from lost limbs or whatever, mm-hmm. and prescribed, you know, pain meds left and right. Mm-hmm. You know, he was doing, you know, I walked in with my five symptoms of what's wrong with me. Let's focus on one for the next year, and I was lucky if three of those five symptoms made it into my record every time.
Yeah.
Which is what screwed me out of SSDI because, oh, there's no history. This is ongoing and continuing.
Gotcha.
Because of lack of proper records.
Gotcha. So,
and it's too far back for me to do a federal tort claim on that.
Yeah. So let's do this.
But I have been, and I have been seeking to try and find a lawyer to do it, because I couldn't get a hold of you, Mr. Kiefer, of doing a federal tort in this case.
Sure.
Because so the discrepancies are so bad. Mm-hmm. I would have gone to Leavenworth if I did anything close to that.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. First.
And it was under your watch, Colonel.
I got you. So we got 6 minutes left. I do have another appointment that I will make. So this is what I propose. First, I apologize. Obviously, you didn't get the experience that we wanted you to get. Second, there's often a discrepancy between what the patient believes and feels with what the medical staff sees and feels.
And back to that comment regarding about obesity due to excess calories. My edema, I swell up like tree stumps.
Yeah.
Excess calories presents itself as the infamous cankles. I mean, you don't have to be a medical professional to know that.
So, let me continue.
That's why I don't have diabetes, surprisingly.
What I want to offer you, and I'm going to work with the clinic chief and the...
That and the denial letter just says for medical. What medical disqualifier disqualified me from... Because every one of them, even though their notes were incomplete, mm-hmm. and had errors in them, every one of them mentioned something that puts me on the indicated for a power mobility device.
Okay.
Every single one of them at least touched one thing on the indicated, and not one of them mentioned anything in the contraindicated list.
Okay. So, again,
That's another thing. If even their own notes make mention that indicate me for a power mobility scooter, but yet somehow I'm just denied for medical. Well, what's the medical reason? Medical. There, you got to have a reason. Because if I'm going to appeal this, I got to have a reason for the appeal. A generic denial for medical for something, for a medical necessity, you know, for a medical device, you know, doesn't fly anywhere.
Okay, so again, here's what I'm willing to do for you, is I'm going to talk with the chief, I'm going to talk with this chief. We're going to get a plan together to review your entire discussion that you've had here. And we'll have another assessment, and you'll have the opportunity to provide your medical documentation, your medical symptoms.
It's all in my medical records. If you actually pull up from New York and Ohio, you will see it all there. I've been given excuses, not in writing.
Are you declining the opportunity to participate in what I'm offering you?
No, I'm going to participate fully.
Okay, so let's complete the conversation as gentlemen. We're going to do that for you. I don't know exactly what that looks like because I have to talk to the chief of the chief and figure out what that is, and we will give you a phone call, and we'll talk about that, and if you agree with it, great. If you don't, we'll see if we can adjust it in some way where you feel more confident that you're going to get your medical condition accurately reflected in the assessment.
That's a good first step, yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay.
And also, if you would, is to make sure that this isn't, because it wasn't just one provider down there glaring errors.
Mm-hmm.
It was all three.
Okay.
That's a sign of something bigger.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to look into errors.
Yes, I can still speak for myself.
Sure.
Barely, but I still can.
Clearly.
It's not, my wife was Army. As well, we're fun on Army Navy Day, okay? You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're probably a West Point grad.
No.
You weren't that lucky? Okay. But anyways, these discrepancies are so glaring, and it happened the same week as the cross being taken down in Austin.
Yeah.
And violation of the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Are you a lawyer?
I pay very close attention to the ACLU on matters that, especially with the Military Religious Freedom Foundation.
I'm an apolitical guy. I'm a career senior executive. I'm an a-religious guy. None of that makes any bearing into my decisions. And so,
but were you the one that actually signed off on it within the 90 minutes that they said that they claimed on March 20th?
And you don't know what I signed off on because that's not what was reflected in any of the media. So, and I'm not going to get into that because we're working.
Oh, I know that it was taken down, but and next thing I know, is I'm saying these LGBTQ plus little symbols everywhere all over Austin, the Austin Clinic.
Yeah.
And I'm offended by that because to me that's a Satanist religion.
Well.
No matter what people, but the thing is, to me that's even more religious than the cross.
Okay. Well,
I mean, granted, I have issues with the cross is missing the Space Force, just like your sign across from the sign across from PMRS regarding the what the VA stands for, the five star, all that is missing the reference of the Space Force.
Yeah,
needs updated. I'm just saying it needs updated. I see you got the flag. I see
and
you have the flag.
And we've got a program in place to try to adjust all the exterior signage.
Which I think you would appreciate.
It takes time.
The Space Force is the Air Force's grandbaby.
Well, it is the Department of the Air Force, just like Marines.
Thank you,
the Department
of the Air
Force. Well, it's the Army's. No, the Space Force is the Army's grandbaby.
The Air Force is the Air Army's baby.
I know.
I got you.
My paternal grandfather was Army Air Corps World War II.
Yeah. Well, my dad was a Marine.
My maternal grandfather was Navy World War II.
My grandfather's Navy, so we got them all covered. All right, sir. Thank you for coming in.
I tried to go Air Force, but there wasn't a recruiter in the area when I listed.
It was only the Army that would give me a scholarship. That's where I went.
But... Yeah, just
we will get back.
I just request that you please look at the case laws on the matter because it has come up with the Supreme Court multiple times regarding
I follow VA
public
guidance.
Displays.
I don't make my own up. Yep.
Well, that's why the Chip Roy sent the letter.
Have a safe trip back. We'll be in touch.
Oh, I got a long walk. I got to walk all the way back up to the chapel.
Oh, boy. Take your time.
That's the problem with a late appointment like this.